Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Popcorn ready.
It's game time, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
a team that is known as Stoppers.
Stoppers.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
How's everyone doing? This is Nick Foles. Just entered the meeting.
Chicago's best Bears coverage.
That's right. Bears down.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Hogue.
The Bears' angst in general. Everybody's like angry about it, I feel like. Just relax.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
This is just how it is. It's a range of emotions, it's a range of feelings and hot takes.
Here they are.
Fiery, feisty, and frequently ill-tempered.
The Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns with you on a Tuesday. A little bit of an extra long week as the Bears get ready to prepare for Monday Night Football and the Los Angeles Rams and their horrible, hideous Microsoft 98 jerseys.
Really? I like those. I'm not a big jersey guy. I'm not Pat Finley.
See, those two things you just said went perfectly together. I like those. I'm not a big jersey guy. If you were a big jersey guy, you would know that those are awful.
See, they're not that bad. They're not as good as the Chargers and what they've been wearing lately. Oh, you don't like those?
No, the Chargers uniforms are excellent.
They look sweet.
The Chargers?
I don't like that. Yeah. I don't think the Rams are that bad.
Do you remember word art on Microsoft?
On the computer?
Yeah, back in the 90s. It was like the first time you could like design cool things. That's what the numbers look like on the Rams jerseys. Like they were made with word art. with Clippy jumped up on your computer screen and got in your way when you're trying to type. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I was thinking about this the other day watching the late game between the Buccaneers. I think it was late game between the Buccaneers and Packers, like the graphics they were using. Looked straight out of the 90s. Just a thought. I'm no expert on it.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Well,
maybe it wasn't them. Who was Sunday night? NBC.
I don't know. Are you thinking about Fox and how they have all those cartoons?
Like the robot guys? Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking of, yes.
Yeah, all the like drawings of players instead of just using their photos, yeah. They're trying too hard. That's not why you're here, though, to listen to a Bears podcast on a Tuesday. The Bears are still 5-1. They did not take away any of the victories, turn them into losses. That game against the Detroit Lions in week one still counts, even though DeAndre Swift dropped the ball. And, you know, this is kind of a good opportunity for us to step back, answer some listener questions. So instead of bringing in our second Tuesday guest, we'll still have Kevin Fishbane join us here in a little bit. But we figured we'd let the listener in, ask some questions. So we're going to do that today. You can follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. It's always a good way to communicate with us. And you can read me at NBCSportsChicago.com. Johns, I got my offensive line rant out of the way on the podcast. I saved the officiating for a full column, full-blown column this morning. Just, you know what honestly happened?
Therapeutic, I'm sure, for you.
Here's what happened. Because I read my 10 Bears things on Monday. That's also up for you to read at NBCSportsChicago.com. I started writing item number one. And it was basically about how, well, the defense is playing, but the officiating is still holding them back from being great, okay? And when I got done with that part, so this is still item one, thing one, I'm like, damn, I got 1,200 words here. This is a separate column.
Yes.
It's going to run Tuesday. So
I'm
going to
need
happens.
11 thoughts here.
Yeah. So anyway, those are both up for you at NBCSportsChicago.com. Johns also wrote about the defense and some interesting things that we're going to discuss here in a second. So you can read that at TheAthletic.com, The Athletic app. If you're listening to this podcast on the app, you can pull the column up at the same time as you're listening and take a look at it. So that's all there for you. Please rate and review the podcast. If you haven't done that, please do. It helps. Help spread the word. And word of mouth goes a long way too, so I appreciate all of our loyal listeners who do that. And you should be subscribed to The Athletic, so go do that. All right, Johns, where should we start?
Voicemails.
Ooh, yeah, voicemails. Think people are calming down at all or no?
No.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
I haven't heard these yet, so I don't know. Maybe everybody's happy this week.
Doubt
all right, let's hear what they had to say.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail.
The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game.
Go Bears!
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Boys, Bob Dabrowski here, calling in from Charlotte, NC. They got a race car in the airport. It's crazy stuff down here. Bears just kicked off. I've never been more confident in my life. It feels like I drank a gallon of Michael's Secret special drink or something. And Bears a gazillion. Panthers, four. All right, let's go. Bears, bear down.
This is just the worst play calling and worst clock management. What the hell is Matt Nagy doing? I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
Cole Kmet, we can stop asking where he is because he's in the end zone scoring a touchdown. Bear down.
Is anyone else tired of Anthony Miller's just dumbass? I'm sick and tired of these bonehead plays. Number two receiver, my ass. Bear down.
At 5'8", 160 pounds, we got Carlos Santos with the clutch field goal at halftime. Let's go, bear down, baby.
Yeah. First time caller, longtime listener. This is John. James Rocks. Just want to say big ups to Carlos Santos and his older Rob there for a clutch halftime kick there. We're just really hoping in the second half we can see a little bit more Mike Glennon run the ball. But Carlos, this Miller is for you, my friend.
I don't want to overreact or anything, but Kyle Fuller is the greatest defensive player ever, and the refs are trying to nerf him. They're scared of Kyle Fuller. That's why they keep throwing the flag.
Yes, Nick Foles is smarter. Yes, Nick Foles knows where he wants to go with the ball, but Nick Foles can't run.
Come on, Bears. You let me down last time. Let's score some points this time in the third quarter.
I'm not the world's greatest Mitch supporter, but man... Man, oh man, can you just please do me one thing? Put Mitch in and win. Bear down.
I said it last week and I'll say it again. Mitch needs to play.
All right, seriously, it's third quarter. F*** these refs.
The NFL officiating this year has taken away 3 defensive touchdowns by the Bears defense, 3 by Eddie Jackson this year. That is complete BS.
Can we please get a different fucking run design besides a halfback draw out of fucking shotgun for Montgomery? Let's get it together, Nagy.
The curse is lifted. The curse is lifted. The curse is lifted. Third quarter touchdown.
I'm going to try my best to keep my foul language out of this. But if these refs call another bullshooting, bullpooping pass interference against the Bears defense, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
This is literally the third time I called. I've been drinking. I'm just sick of the Bears and their penalties. Bear down. Let's get a win.
I'm serious. I love Matt Nagy, but for the love of God, can we not just line up and run a play and get a first down? Why do we have to try all this tricky stuff all the time?
Leno, what is up with that dude? Why did the Bears extend him? I really don't get it. Unreal.
It's amazing that they won this game because Nagy apparently wanted to give them the ball back because I don't understand what other reason they would have for trying to throw the ball when you have 2 yards left and you need to run the freaking clock out or at least make them waste their timeout. Absolutely ridiculous. DeAndre Houston closer, baby.
Well, we got two wins today, one against the officials and one against the Panthers from the phantom Jalen Johnson pass interference, but an ugly win, but I guess that's basically par for the course in 2020.
Hey, the Bears are 5-1. We should run Montgomery more. And hey, how about them Bears?
Dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun. Chicago Bear Bear down. Boys 5-1. I mean, the chances of making the playoffs after 5-1 is probably pretty high. I think the Bears are obviously going to win the next 14, 13 games in a row, 18-1, Super Bowl, Super Bears. We got a victory. We got a victory Sunday. We're going to do 1,000 shots of tequila for the victory Sunday, and let's go, Chicago Bears.
Bob Dabrowski bringing it home.
I'm surprised you didn't call in again.
Me?
Your own voice? Yeah. Get your voicemail line going. Leave another O-line rant.
No, I do that on the podcast.
Yeah.
You
felt better after that.
Not really. You know why?
Same line.
You know why I didn't feel any better? I watched the tape.
No. No silver linings in that one.
Now, I saw that you and Kevin, maybe we should save this for when Kevin comes on, but you guys are soliciting trade ideas.
Yes, and then we were going to send those to Ryan Pace. That's the plan.
Wow. Okay. Well, we do get tweets of people mad. What was there was a tweet yesterday that was like, I don't know what it was, but it was like, it wasn't questions. It was like, please tell Nagy this. Like, when you get on the Zoom call, please tell him, just tell him to do this. So when I raise my hand on Zoom and I wait 8-9 minutes to get my one question in, that I'm not allowed to.
But you forget at least twice over those 8 and 9.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
When I do get that moment where I'm finally unmuted and allowed to speak, I will just tell Nagy what the guy on Twitter has to say. That's what I'll do.
Hey, Matt, got a message here from Frank in Rockford. He wants you to run the damn ball on 3rd and 2. That's it. I don't have a question, though. Thanks.
So did you watch the Chiefs game yesterday?
Some of it.
So Andy Reid runs the ball 46 times for 240-something yards. Both were high numbers for Andy Reid in his career. The Chiefs had been struggling to run the football, and so they just come out and do it. Now, I do somehow, it is exhausting how everything comes back to the Chiefs, but that's where Nagy came from. This is his mentor that he talks about all the time. And I couldn't help but notice that you had a team there struggling to run the football, and Andy Reid just did it. Now, a couple things to point out. One, in the past when we've had these conversations comparing the Bears offense to the Chiefs offense, we usually bring up the fact, which you have to do, the Bears simply don't have the same players. They don't have the same quarterback. They don't have the same playmakers. You can't just run the same things. However, in this case, the Chiefs offensive line is banged up. And I think they lost Mitchell Schwartz early in that game with a back injury. They are somewhat comparable, I'd say, up front. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an exciting rookie. But David Montgomery's good. So I have to say, it was a little, I thought it was at least notable, Johns, that you had the Chiefs come out and do that. On the flip side, you also had Sean McDermott, the Bills coach, come out and say, well, basically that was their game plan, was to let the Chiefs run the football and just stop Patrick Mahomes. So once again, it does come back to Mahomes and the reality that the Bears just don't have the same quarterback. So it's not that easy.
I did see, I think it was Jeff Schwartz, Mitchell Schwartz's older brother, I believe, shared a clip of that game where the Chiefs offensive line literally drove the Bills defensive line like 6 or 7 yards off the ball. Like significant movement up front across the board where it was not a good look for the Bills. And I know the weather played a role and whatnot, and you know the Chiefs handled it better. But I thought about that clip, and then I think it was you or JJ or Pat Finley, when you guys are going through your own film reviews, who kept sharing the Nick Foles interception play. You know what I'm getting at? where it looks like the Bears' offensive line is chasing the Panthers' defensive line to tackle them. Like, it does not look good.
They had one of five offensive linemen block on that play.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobby Massey made his block.
Thank you, Bobby Massey. But it's not a good look. It's just an awful look, especially like the still frame view of it. And look, still frames can be misleading. But that one is just so indicative of how bad they played in that game. On that play, Nick Foles trying to make a play, bad decision, dumb decision, he said. But you saw why he had to throw it up there for grabs, because that offensive line was not blocking.
Yeah. We don't need to exhaust that side, but I'll just say this, because you guys are soliciting trades for, by the way, good job letting the readers do the work for you. That's a veteran move.
Yes, yes. That's not our first year on the beat.
I like that. I don't know who the heck they could trade for. I'll read The Athletic tomorrow and find out. But don't you feel like that if there was ever a time where the Bears were going to make a somewhat significant trade in the middle of the season, this is a time where it's warranted? You have a good team that is 5-1. Like, you're not just floundering and can't figure things out. We're about to talk about the defense and some of the things, some of the numbers you've looked up, showing how good this unit might actually be. And a theme in my 10 Bears things yesterday, it's starting to feel like 2018 again, right? It's they have a good defense. They have a capable quarterback that you can win with, which is what Mitch was in 2018. And they don't have the offense, though, as a whole, to get it done. And I think they can't solve the offensive line with what they have right now. I don't feel confident that they could do that. So if there's ever a time to go trade a draft pick, I don't know what round it is. It depends on what caliber player type you're about to get. But I would make the argument that it's worth doing right now.
It is a matter of personnel to me. The schematic thing, look, did not having Juan Castillo on the sideline factor into things? Yeah, maybe. Is that still a change for some guys going from Harry Eastand to Juan Castillo? Yeah, maybe. But eventually, the personnel is the personnel. And they can only change and improve so much. Some of these guys may have peaked already. It may have been a couple of years ago. So we'll see. You know who's peaking? And maybe even has the potential to get better is the defense. So I do want to reference this story before we get to the Fishman. So in my Bears takeaways, my weekly column, I went back and looked at the stats from 2018, since everybody's getting all hyped up about what the defense is doing this year, including us, you know, with good reason. So I looked at the stats after the Bears' first six games in 2018 and compared them to this year. Everybody remembers in 2018, they finished with the best defense in football. So let me just throw out a few stats to you. So after six games in 2018, Adam, the Bears were 3-3. Points allowed per game, 22.3. This year, 19.3. Rushing yards per game, 87.5. This year, 113. Here's where it gets really interesting. Net passing yards per game, 2018, 263. This year, 224. Third down percentage, 38.5 to this year's 31.8. How about this for a significant improvement? Red zone touchdown percentage by the opponent, 57.1% over the first six games of 2018. This year, number one in the NFL at 36.4. Opposing quarterback passer rating, 89 in 2018, 2020. 73.5. And here's the biggest difference to me is in 2018, they had 17 takeaways over the first six games. This year, they only have eight. Of course, the officials are to blame. So let me ask you, Adam, you watched that team, you covered that team. Is this defense that we're seeing this year feel, look different, better than 2018?
In spurts, it feels as good. Yeah, it's hard to knock them for the lack of takeaways when
the refs are taking them away.
Yeah, like the takeaways are being taken away, and it's what I wrote about with the officiating. That's a whole separate discussion, which I'll let you read about. But you know, I really do feel like the Bears are playing by the rules that the NFL has been trying to get defenses to play. Can you still play good physical defense in this era where you're not allowed to hit guys above the shoulder? And I think they are. I think they are playing that way, and yet the referees don't know how to handle it because they're not used to it. They're not used to a team really cracking the code that the NFL's put out there, and I think that's on the NFL now to adjust to what the Bears are doing because they can't be punished when they're following the rules, okay? And then pass interference is a whole different thing. I just think the rules are too convoluted and murky, and the officials don't know how to call it consistently. It's like the catch, no catch. The more you make the rule complicated, the harder it is to officiate it. It needs to be rewritten. The criteria needs to be rewritten and simplified, and then you can call it, okay? So that's a tiny little rant there. But I do see spurts, and I'll bring up the first sequence of this game against the Panthers, okay? You can read about this tomorrow on NBCSportsChicago.com because this is what I broke down in my film review this week. The Bears came out, Johns, in what essentially looked like Lovie Smith's defense. Okay, they had four down linemen. They're essentially a 4-3 team, but they're in their nickel package. 4-2-5. You got Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, and Robert Quinn on your front four. I mean, this is like old school, just rush four, kick the other team's ass up front. And when you can do that, you can do crazy things on the back end, which is what happened. First play of the game, Khalil Mack made right tackle Taylor Moten look silly with just a little duck of his shoulder, went right under him, TFL. Met Robert Quinn in the backfield on that play. Then the next play, Robert Quinn and Bilal Nichols run a great stunt. Nichols comes around the outside as Quinn crashes inside, sack, nearly a safety on that play, and it was pretty impressive. And then the third down play, they do the same thing again, the same exact stunt. This time, Robert Quinn just runs over the left guard. I mean, just ran him over like a train. And Bilal Nichols got there fast enough. Khalil Mack also got there. And of course, Bridgewater unload the ball into tight coverage. Jalen Johnson knocks the ball in the air. Takeaway. So if this is the type of stuff that I'm seeing, Johns, to your point, where I think more takeaways will come as long as the officials don't take them off the board and let the Bears play the way they're playing. Because right now they're flying around. And I thought it was concerning earlier in the season that the Bears were coming out flat in games. They came out the opposite of flat against the Panthers, especially on defense with that first sequence.
And you talk about personnel differences between 2018 and this year's team. Like, Robert Quinn is a pass rusher. For all the things you just said and more, is an upgrade over Leonard Floyd, who we'll see on Monday night with the Rams.
It's money well spent right now, it looks
like. Yes. I understand that Floyd brings a bit more in maybe run defense, but Barkevious Mingo hasn't been too bad, and he brings a little bit more in pass coverage. But you don't pay outside linebackers for that. You pay them to attack quarterbacks. To me, a difference is Jalen Johnson and Tashawn Gibson in the back end. I think they're upgrades over Prince Amukamara in 2018 and Adrian Amos in 2018, just in terms of what they do. Plays on the ball, man coverage for Jalen Johnson. So that stands out to me. If you can remember in 2018, after the first six games, that's when the defense started to hit their stride, right? They beat up the Jets. They beat up the Bills. That was a big game for Eddie Jackson. Let's not forget that. The Bills aren't what they are now in 2018. This next three-game stretch for the Bears, where you have Jared Goff, you have, why am I blanking now, Drew Brees. And who's the other guy, Adam? Help me out here.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, even better. Derrick Henry. Good gauge about how good this defense really is. They're going to need some help from the offense.
Well, the signature game from that season, I thought defensively, was that the night game against the Rams at Soldier Field. I mean, they just dominated up front, and they made Jared Goff look silly. So you got the Rams this week. You're on Monday Night Football. There's not going to be a lot of points scored in this game, I don't think. And you're looking for that signature type game for the defense. I do like where they're playing. They need to figure out the offensive line. And by the way, Robert Quinn's been great recently. We learned something about his dog too last week.
Chris Emma.
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Rottweiler.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
I mean,
nothing like a good old pat in the back for Chris Emma about your dog.
Chris Emma.
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Rottweiler.
There you go.
Hey. Great. These are the types of questions you would normally ask in a locker room when you're just chit-chatting, but you know, sometimes the Zoom calls need to be reserved.
You
got to
get
questions.
That small talk in.
So, yeah. Sure.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere, from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. It looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion. And it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
All right. Now to give us a breakdown of Tua Tagovailoa's brother, who could be playing for Maryland this weekend, Kevin Fishbane.
It's Big Ten football, boys. It's back.
This is where I remind you, Kevin, this is a Bears podcast, not a Northwestern Wildcats We Love Fitz podcast.
I did see though, that right before we started this podcast, that Michigan locked down their dorms. So
the Big Ten football's off to a rousing start, is what you're saying. I just don't know what I'm going to... I mean, Hogue, am I still allowed to text you my frustration with Northwestern, even if you're not on the sidelines? Because it's been a fun little thing for me to do over the years.
Well, I am going to be on the sidelines.
Oh.
So there you go.
Perfect. So text away.
I will do that. That's even better.
Not completely confirmed yet if I will actually physically be on the sideline. I will be inside Ryan Field Saturday night, and there's a good chance that apparently I will be tested and hopefully cleared and potentially on the sideline. Because what would I do in the fall without my 30 seconds with Fitz every week?
That's the best news I've heard all day, all week.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is great because now I won't be able to be in the stands. Although I have wondered if any of the players are going to put me in there. You know, each player gets like four tickets.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's going to put me in there, four tickets to go see the game live.
Oh, you could be. So. Yeah, you could befriend. You need to get to know Joe Spivak's dad.
There you go. Well, either way.
That's a fun guy to know.
Okay. I'll be watching on TV. I'll be texting you when Fitz calls three consecutive timeouts to ice the Maryland kicker attempting a 28-yard field goal at the end of the first half.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be ready to respond. All right. Bears. They're 5-1. They're still 5-1. Do you what are your final takeaways, Kevin Fishbane, of the victory over the Panthers and maybe what you saw on the tape? Because I saw pretty much what I thought I saw during the game. The offensive line was not good. The Bears' defensive line was good.
Yeah, that's a good defense. I think, you know, Johnsy wrote about it today, comparing this defense to the previous defense. And I know people are saying, well, that defense had a lot of takeaways. I think that's almost an argument for why this defense could be better, that they're doing this without necessarily taking the ball away at a crazy rate and scoring touchdowns. And the offense was better in 2018 than this offense that this defense has to work with. What I'm trying to figure out, guys, on the offensive side of the ball, and something I wrote about on Monday night, Tuesday morning, the run game was so much better in the first 2 weeks than the last 3 weeks. Not only that, on early downs, the passing game was significantly better in those first couple weeks. Now, I know we're talking Lions and Giants defense. Carolina is not a good defense. So, like, they can't use that excuse anymore. So I'm trying to figure out what, yeah, I think we all are, what can this offense do? Like, what's next? Like, how can they be more efficient?
Just say it. Kev, just say it. Just say it. Ooh. Say it.
Ooh, is this going where I think it is?
No. This is not.
Who was the quarterback the first 2 weeks? Just say it.
I think there was an emphasis in the game plan the first 2 weeks in a way to tailor to the quarterback in the lineup.
And say his name.
And it worked, kind of. Mitch Trubisky, it was working in those two games.
It was.
And I'm not like, but I do think, you know, you look at the fact that they only had, what, 2-3 and outs on Sunday in Carolina, and they happened to be the last two drives of the game. We're all seeing why Nick Foles is in there, but I just think you look at the overall numbers of the offense. The offense is not better so far. Again, opponents, I understand the Colts and the Bucs are really good defenses, but once this offense sputtered against Carolina, I had some alarm bells going off, and I'm just very curious to see, like, is this it? Like, is this just as good as the offense is going to be all year? Because if you had extra time, an angry head coach, and a defense that was like 29th against the run, last in the league in sacking the quarterback, well, like, why could you still not figure it out?
No, don't care.
I think they're better off with the quarterback they have in there.
Oh yeah, I'm not calling for Mitchell. I'm not saying that. I think there's something for the coaches to have to try to figure out. Like, why were they so efficient those first couple weeks, and why can't they get back there with a quarterback who is better suited to operate this offense?
Yeah, man, who wants to get tackled?
There's some differences. This is a fair football, especially X's and O's type of conversation. You know, Foles' lack of mobility changes things. You don't always think about this, but I think it has an effect on the run game a little bit. The offense has been a little bit different too. I mean,
it's, you know what it is? It's Nagy's offense. That's what they're running right now.
As opposed to the first few weeks when they were running more of the stuff that they were trying to get, to help Trubisky. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Have you noticed what the Eagles are doing with Jalen Hurts? Like, there's packages for him, right? They're getting him involved. Why not get Mitch involved a little bit? In some way. I mean, look, he's going to be gone in the offseason, right? Most likely.
Most likely.
Why not get him in there on some plays and get him moving around and potentially even running the ball? You can't run the ball any other way. I mean, what's the harm of doing that?
Jazzy, how many questions did we get in our Q&A we did a few weeks ago? I'm not denigrating the question. I'm just like, it's a common
thought. It's, and they use the name Taysom Hill all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if Mitch is exactly that type of runner.
Well, that's the thing.
Hill runs hard.
Mitch has never done anything like what you're describing. I feel like he's just never done it before. And that's not to say he's not capable. It's not to say they shouldn't try it if their offense continues to look the way it's looked. But I just don't know if Nagy even has like a package for that.
Well, that's why you get paid to coach and come up with packages, right? I mean, I'm not talking about Taysom Hill. He's a different player. You know what he also is? He's a better thrower.
Ooh.
Than Taysom Hill.
Oh, Trubisky. Okay.
Yeah, no. No, I'm saying Trubisky's better thrower than Hill. Yeah. So the you know, you still you still have that threat of pass. I don't know. It's just a wrinkle to throw out there. There's got to be something you can do because this just isn't working.
I thought it was interesting that Patterson only had one carry. Like I thought they liked certain things he could do. Maybe it was the matchup. Maybe it was the game plan. Whatever. I get that. But for a guy that they seemingly like to do a lot of different things with, even running routes out of the backfield. Don't forget he was bemoaning that miss. Nagy was bemoaning that miss corner route that he ran out of the backfield a week earlier. So see him only get one carry, not have much involvement in the offense, that was notable to me. Like there's so many questions and so many concerns about the personnel. I'm not sure how significantly they can improve, at least if you're looking at the statistics and the rankings and whatnot.
What question are you asking me?
You guys ready for a stat?
Oh, yeah.
We call these Fishbane fun facts. Go ahead.
Fishbane fun fact.
And that's the facts. That's 100% truth.
Oh, Chase Daniel. First 2 weeks of the season, David Montgomery had 25 carries under center for 135 yards. So over 5 yards a carry under center first 2 weeks of the season. Since then, in the four games since, he's had a total of 27 carries under center. Now let's talk about Carolina. Football Outsiders had him 29th ranked run defense. Dave Montgomery had 6 carries when Nick Foles was under center for 7 yards. So that's the thing that's got to be a question that they got to figure out is if he could run that well against those two defenses with Mitch Trubisky under center, why was it that much of a drop off against a mediocre run defense with Nick Foles under center? I know you had the new left guard in, but that should not have been a 5+ yards per carry all the way down to one.
But also, if I heard you correctly, I mean, they ran it, they're running less plays under center.
Right. And like, that's the other question is, you know, should they be running it? Should they be giving him more opportunities? But I also understand what Matt Nagy just says. Look, the run game's not working. I have no interest in it anymore. That's who he is. He doesn't like kicking field goals. He doesn't like running the ball against brick wall.
He likes kicking field goals with Cairo Santos. But you can, yes, watching that Panthers game, whether it was live over the broadcast or later over the film, it's you could see why he just grows frustrated with it, right? Like, and changes things and starts throwing the ball a ton. It's easy to feel that way.
I mean, listen to what he said after the game. He said, when I asked him why he threw the ball on 3rd and 2 at the end of the game, he said going into the game, that's what they were going to do. Yeah. That was the plan. They knew if they were in that situation at the end of the game, they were going to throw the ball. Because he doesn't trust running it.
I'm glad you asked him that. And I would be curious, like, if they had a good run game, like, or is this just who he is? Like, he's just always going to go for the kill. But like, if the run game was actually consistent, or if it's something he felt confident in, would he still have done that? I don't know.
I think there are subtle signs that he would. He ran the ball 15 times on first down in that game.
Yep. Montgomery actually had a season high in carries.
Yeah.
In Sunday in Carolina.
You know, they're trying to do it. It just doesn't work.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Johns, you solicited questions from the listeners this week. I'm going to let you kind of drive this part because you're the one that came up with these and pick them out, but I'm excited.
Yeah, there was a lot, over 60. I had to only pick 5, so forgive us for having a time crunch here. But
and the first question is, what kind of dog do you have?
Yeah, sometimes you get that.
Chris, Emma?
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Rottweiler.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, Chris, so nice. All right, guys, you ready? This is from @SunDevilBearFan, so probably a nice and warm and toasty Arizona, I imagine. Do you see Nagy making serious changes to the personnel on the offensive line? No way you can just watch this group struggle as mightily as they have and not take a chance on their young guys or someone not on that roster currently.
I just don't know what else he's supposed to do. His one option, it seems, is to play Alex Bars on Monday night instead of Rashad Coward.
I like the idea of, like, the most, if I had to rank, like, maybe the seriousness or the effect of changing the offensive line, to me, it's like benching Charles Leno Jr. for, like, a Jason Spriggs. I don't know what type of upgrade that would be. Maybe they could trade for somebody. I'm not sure. But just, like, the message or the emotions that would be felt with that, especially for a guy who's considered a team leader, who's not playing all that well again. Like, I'm curious about what that would do. Like, what type of message that would send if you benched a guy like Charles Leno Jr.
I think that's your only move right now because... And we've had some people suggest it, and by people I mean fans. But look, there's a reason Jason Spriggs was available for the veteran minimum, and he didn't do much in Green Bay. The problem with the Alex Barr situation is by going with Coward and asking him to play a side he's never played, I feel like that's a tough move by the coaches to then go to Bars after 1 week. Like, if they're going to say, we think you're good, we think you are so good, so much better than Alex Bars, we're going to ask you to play the left side, and you have to, like, rearrange everything you've learned about footwork and all that stuff. That's how much better we think you are than Bars. And then after one game, they say, you know what, we're not even going to let you see us through. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it or won't do it. I just think that's a tough move by coaching staff if they've already gone ahead and made this statement about how they feel about those players.
But the tape was so bad. I mean, honestly, that was one of the worst offensive line tapes I've ever seen.
But they knew when they put him over there.
That's why I don't get. So I mean, you're right. Yeah. You know, this is like whenever fans say, "Why isn't such and such playing?" Because they don't think he's good. Yeah. Okay, that's it. It's the answer. It's just the coach isn't going to come out and say that. Okay, so you're right. The fact that after the guy started 9 games at right guard last year, and they went out and got Jermaine Ifedi. And they said it was this great competition they had in training camp. We were at training camp. Ifedi was the number one guy on the first day at camp, okay? And there was not a competition. And now that guy that basically got benched for Ifedi in the offseason is clearly the guy they want playing over Alex Bars. I mean, but when is there accountability? Like, he didn't play well. He missed assignments. Don't you have to go to the other guy now? You got a huge game against the Rams. But in all honesty, neither guy is that all that experienced, and someone's going to have to block Aaron Donald. So good luck with that.
Question number two. Another mini Ho Grant on the offensive line. Question number two, fellas. This is from at Theoden. Theoden King 58. Did I say that right? Here's the question. What is it going to take for Cole Kmet to out-snap Demetrius Harris?
The coaches to play Kmet more. I mean, we've talked about this for weeks. Stop scheming the plays to 86, scheme them to 85.
Hoag, there were two plays that I circled where Demetrius Harris lost a block.
Yep. It wasn't just the drop catch. He missed blocks.
And I wonder, it's not like he's anything for you in the passing game. And you gave Kmet that one opportunity, made a great catch in traffic for a touchdown on third and goal. Like, I think Demetrius Harris is a fine number three tight end. I think he's perfectly fine for that role. I wonder if this was the game that could make that shift happen, because at least in my eyes, it was clear that Harris had some, you know, had some challenges in both in blocking. And again, he's just not giving you what you need as a pass catcher, not what Kmet could do. So if this game didn't do it, then wait till next year. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? Real quick though, if I remember right, and I'm looking this back up, I think their snaps were identical on Sunday.
Yes, almost one off, I think.
Yeah, Harris was out there 24 snaps. Komet was 23. So maybe a small indication there that that is about to happen.
I think Kevin's hit all the right points on this, and this is why I wanted to keep this question in there, is to see Demetrius Harris miss those blocks, which is why he's essentially here. To see him miss his pass-catching opportunities. Like, you, when you have a first down and you drop the ball, not good. It's time to play the rookie who may have some momentum going after that catch where he wasn't even the number one option. Over the middle, made a catch over three or four guys in the end zone. Let's see what he could do more and more and more of. Question number three from Zach Cycle on Twitter. Hopefully I said your name right, Zach. What do we think about Jalen Johnson the last few weeks? The announcers make it sound like he's consistently being targeted by opposing offenses, but Twitter makes it sound like he's a top five corner in the NFL. Where's the truth?
Well, he's definitely not a top five corner in the NFL, and I realize that's a little bit of hyperbole in the question, but I think this is a matter of balancing expectations. We're talking about a rookie. Corner is a hard position to play, period. I mean, I tweeted in the middle of the game, and it goes into the conversation we had earlier about the rules. I mean, it is hard to play cornerback in the NFL these days with the rules. You can't hand fight anymore. You hand fight at all, apparently it's pass interference. So, and that's all I thought he was doing on that PI call. But Kyle Fuller's playing outstanding on the other side. They got to target somebody. So I think it's also accurate to say they're, if you have to pick, if you're the opposing offense, you got to pick, you're going to target the rookie. And he is giving up some catches here. I also think he's holding his own, though, as a rookie. And the thought of, when you consider how the difference between Jalen Johnson's start to his career and Kyle Fuller's start to his career, Fuller struggled. He struggled a lot. He also dealt with some injuries, but he struggled. And Johnson, I just think, is off to such a promising start in the context of what rookie cornerbacks usually look like. So that's why I think you're getting some of that divide. Like, in the moment, are they targeting him? Absolutely. Is he getting picked on a little bit? Absolutely. Can that be true, and it also be true, that he's off to a great start as a rookie cornerback in the NFL? Yes, that can also be true.
Chris, Emma?
Robert, what kind of dog do you have?
Say two things. Have a Rob, what do you think this is?
There you go.
Yeah, you're right. This is
a nuanced conversation.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I mean, he's going to get targeted. What I think has been interesting about Jalen Johnson is the plays he made have come at significant times. You know, you think about the third down against New York when he punched that ball out to Darius Slayton. You think of him creating the interception for Tashawn Gibson. He created the interception. Was it the Giants game? Another one where he kind of punched it in the air? Or was that Detroit? Either way, he is... His play, like, it's not just he has these, what is it, whatever it is, eight or nine passes broken up. It's that they are like, whoa, like, those are big plays. So I do think that, you know, he's getting targeted, he's giving up a few big plays like you'd expect from a rookie. The plays he's making the ball, I think, make him seem slightly better than he's playing, but he has been phenomenal thus far.
I think this is a classic case where the numbers don't lie, right? He's been targeted the most out of any Bears defensive back 45 times, according to Pro Football Reference. But he's only allowing completions at half that, 46.7%. So that's pretty darn good. That's less than half. So that's outstanding in my book, especially considering he's played Brady, Rivers, Ryan, some good quarterbacks. The passer rating has gone up a bit, right, to 82.7, especially after this last week. But I think he's become an instant difference maker just in terms of what the Bears can run, because Chuck Pagano is allowed to leave him on an island. There's going to be targets, there's going to be completions, but there's a confidence there from the coaches and the player. Question number four from Jake GP on Twitter. Can you guys just wax poetically for a few minutes about how amazing Kyle Fuller is? Kyle Fuller is? I almost said Kyler Fuller. Kurt Fuller. How Kyle Fuller is?
Kyle Fuller would be probably in the conversation as the top cornerback in the league right now. If some of his plays this season had not come off the board due to penalty, he is covering well. He's a willing tackler in the run game, always has been. And he's making impactful, game-changing type plays on some of these hits. And unfortunately, some of them aren't counting. And unfortunately, like, it's impossible. Those of us that cover a specific team are going to remember stuff like that. But like, when you go at the end of the day, like when I try to figure out what's happening in the rest of the league as I was covering the Bears, like they're not showing me the plays that came off the scoreboard. You know what I mean? That didn't count. And so from a national standpoint, you don't just get the same recognition. And I think that in some ways, I actually feel bad for Eddie Jackson and Kyle Fuller in that regard, because both of those guys are having huge seasons that would be better, that would look a lot better if some of these plays counted.
The question asker asked for us to wax poetic. So I created a haiku.
Okay.
Kyle Fuller's good. He can tackle and cover. There's still more to come.
Yeah, I think, well done. It'd be well said.
Very good, Kev. Did you just make that up at whim?
Yeah, 575, right? It's a haiku.
That's that so. Northwestern education there.
So that's Peter King. So that's right. I bid you adieu, haiku.
What I think excites people about Fuller is the violence of Kyle Fuller, right? Like the way he's actually timed up the hitting, you know, the way he sees the play coming at him when he's on the left side there, and the way he contorts his body to make it a legal hit. Now, sometimes the refs disagree, and I disagree with all the things the refs throw the flags at with Kyle Fuller these days, but the violence that he's playing with just feels like old school football, and he's bringing it to the modern day where he's contorting his body, where he's leading with his shoulder, he's lowering his body, he's even leading with his hip sometimes, but the force is there, the impact is there, he's jarring balls loose, his teammates love it. So to me, it's the violence, and I love it.
And that is a clean pick by Kirk Fuller. That ball is intercepted. Kyle Fuller.
These people are getting his name right this year. That's a good sign.
Someone pointed out there was, it was a Carlos Santos again on TV.
I saw that tweet. So the tweet was that Kenny Albert called him Carlos Santos on the first extra point of the game. I went back and listened. It kind of sounds like it, but it was almost like a Kylos Santos. Like it was like a combination. Like he wanted to say Carlos and he called himself.
Well, good job, Kenny.
Yeah. Nice job. It wasn't clear enough for me to pull it. It was close, though.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. A fun question for number 5. This is from Drew Bros on Twitter. Spells it different from Joe Bro. What song would you use to describe the first 6 games of the Bears season?
I like this question. It's a fun question. I'm going to go with I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Oh, wow. Look at the synergy on the podcast.
Did I steal yours?
We did not plan this. This is why.
Yeah. We did go to the Rolling Stones concert, at the same time.
We did.
You didn't invite me down to the floor, but...
I didn't. I had to take my wife. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was also with my wife. See, we could have put the wives up in the 300 level where I was, and then we could have been down at the floor.
We didn't think about that, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Could have been in a lot of trouble, too. But, yeah, Satisfaction was my pick. You cannot say Satisfaction, Kevin.
That was a good one. I should have gone with that. I didn't... Yeah, I didn't really know what to do here. Here's what
I have a backup if you want me to go with that.
What's your backup?
There's a song called Can't Block It.
Did you just Google can't block it?
And I did this an hour ago. I did put it in Spotify, Can't Block, and a song called Can't Block It by Lecrae and Zaytoven came up. It's actually a decent song.
It's got a good beat to it.
Yeah.
So I've got a newborn at home, and sometimes if it's late at night, middle of the night, and just trying to calm down, you just sing sometimes. Usually I change.
Are you going to sing for us?
No.
So we can end the podcast now.
Usually I change some words in songs. Like I'll sing a Northwestern fight song. I'll just change some words around, just have some fun with it. But sometimes, you know that song, Rockabye? You know, everything's going to be all right. Rockabye was like a 90s rock song.
Yeah.
That was the one I went with because it's just like, you know, everything's going to be all right. Even if they're not good, they're still probably going to make the playoffs. So anyways, I sing that to my son sometimes when he's just the chorus. I don't know the rest of the song.
When this question came about, I thought of Mark Podesh, our grizzled, seasoned colleague who has covered this team for a long time. And he likes the song by Chumbawamba.
Tub thumping.
Tub thumping. Yeah, that's my knocked down, but I get up again.
That's my go. I hate karaoke, but when I am drunk enough to do it, that is my go-to karaoke song.
I don't know how it fits with the season, but I thought of it. Satisfaction fits perfectly. It does. Just in terms of, I can see like Matt Nagy. He's not a music guy, but that could be his mantra.
I got another one. Breakdown by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Kevin, his obsession with the offensive line is reaching unhealthy proportions right now.
I can tell.
Golly.
Yeah, okay.
Does Hogue have some who says no trade scenarios for us for offensive linemen?
No, but he's looking forward to reading with the able to solicit. I said that's a veteran move. I know. It's not our first year on the beat.
Yeah, I already gave you guys credit for making the listeners do the work for you.
Did you tell him who to credit for that, John?
No.
It's not even our idea. We have to credit Mark Lazarus and Scott Powers, our grizzled Blackhawks writers. They've done it twice already on the Hawks beat.
But see, the truth is I am now letting you guys do the work because I have had zero. I have been saying now for about 48 hours they should trade for an offensive lineman. I have had zero time to actually go in and do the research and try to figure out who might be available. So now I'm going to read the great story on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns, and The Athletic app. And then I will come back Thursday with some thoughts on the trades that you guys have selected. I did see one that was a conditional 7th round pick for Quentin Nelson.
It seems very fair.
I think in that scenario, the Colts might say no.
Are you sure?
No.
Did the Bears trade a conditional 7th recently? Or they get one. They get one for Shaheen? No. What's that? What'd they get for touchdown machine Adam Shaheen?
Yeah.
They did get a conditional. Yeah.
Well, maybe those touchdowns are good for him then to get the 7th round pick. I don't know. They got to make some kind of move. All right. I like those questions.
It's fun.
We should get more. I want to hear from our listeners, too, more songs because they're probably more creative than we are. You didn't even give us one, Kevin.
I did the Rockabye song. Everything's going to be all right. I actually looked up to see who even sang it and started listening to it.
Who
and then
sings
I sang it,
Rockabye?
And then I sang it to my son because he started screaming. I was telling him.
Because he watched the Bears offensive line tape.
I was telling him. Everything's going to be all right. It's fine. They're offense. It's fine. They're going to be okay. Nagy keeps telling us, just wait. Oh, I should have done that from Hamilton. Just you wait.
That would have been the classic Kevin Fishbane reference, just to go to Hamilton. Blues Traveler has a song, Just Wait. There you go.
There's
All
a
right.
band I haven't heard of in a while.
Blues Traveler. They're not bad. I don't know if they're good, but John Prine also has a song, Just Waiting. Shout out to John Prine, R.I.P. All right.
Did I already have my 30 seconds Northwestern?
Yeah, you get it. I specifically put that in the beginning.
That's fair. All right.
Yeah. Are they going to win?
Yes, they're not going to cover.
What's the spread? I don't even know yet.
It's like 11 or 12. It's way too big.
That's Northwestern's favorite?
Yeah, it's way too many points.
Maryland's not very good, though.
But all right, everyone should check out my Northwestern Michigan 2000 20-year anniversary oral history. One of the greatest college football games ever.
They should do that.
Yeah. Hoag, you had an assist in that story because you helped me get in touch with Mr. Cat.
Oh.
Not that it was going to be that difficult to get in touch with Mr. Cat, but I still wanted to give you an assist.
Thank you. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Go tweet at them some trades that they should consider as they promise to send those along to Ryan Pace. Once
that's keep it done. Real. Yes, we will. Forward to them.
All right. Read those guys at The Athletic, theathletic.com/Hoag and Johns. That's where you should be subscribed. Get that great deal right now. $1 a month for 12 months. If you're not subscribed, you should be. You can read me at NBCSportsChicago.com. We've referenced plenty of things in this particular podcast that you should go read. So go do it. Please rate and review the podcast. Appreciate you guys listening and all the interaction. Appreciate the questions today. That was fun. We will talk to you on Thursday as we preview Bears, Rams. Talk to you then. See ya.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.